This is TWiT.
We should talk about the phone because Dieter Bohn on The Verge said it's the hipster iPhone 11. It really looks a lot like an iPhone 11, that camera bump, the square camera bump.
Yeah,
has Face ID, no longer no fingerprint reader. If I weren't looking closely, Andy, I might think you had an iPhone 11. There is no notch, though.
There is no notch. I guess people are calling it the forehead, but because it has so many sensors for like these radars that it's got in addition to the cameras and the projectors that they need for face unlocking, it's not. I mean, as usual, you're gonna have the same people who are vomiting over the iPhone notch and are vomiting over the forehead are also saying they're vomiting over the bump on the back here. But I remain vomit free at this point. Google
says the first phone to have radar. This is the Soli technology Google announced a couple of years ago. In fact, Google showed this on stage, that the original sensor was this, you know, the size of a paperback book. They've got it shrunk down now so it actually fits in that forehead. How is radar different from what Apple's doing?
What it does is it's able to create really a 3D map of things that are around you without having to do it with cameras. So it's a lot lower power. Privacy is a lot better because it's not taking any pictures. And the granularity of what it can do is pretty impressive. The only things that they have rolling out the door for the initial Pixel 4 are simple things like hold your hand over to silence something. They have like in the alarm app. As soon as you reach for it, it senses that your hand is going for the phone, and then it won't turn off the alarm, but it'll make it quieter because it knows that, okay, a human is trying to interact with it right now. And then you could use your hand to sort of stop it. You can go forward and backward through tracks when you're listening to music with it. But they also showed off.
Don't bury the lead, Andy. Tickle me, Pikachu. That's the lead.
Exactly.
You know what? They showed that, which I guess was a lock screen, and then you're kind of going like this, waving it back and forth. It was going. I thought of you, Renee, immediately.
Inako's totally burying the lead here.
I did tickle a Pikachu in the demo area. So it's lest you think that, oh, great, well, there's an infrared sensor here and here. It just senses that something is blocking one than the other. No, you can also, like, in this game, you have like the Pokemon. You can actually like scratch it like this, and it'll respond.
Oh,
to,
wow.
Like,
is that a game then? It's a
game. I didn't play it, but it's an interactive game. The sensor itself is really good at discriminating individual touch. You'll remember that when they first showed this off a couple of years ago, they're talking about doing things like controls where, how about you change the volume just by going like this, like you're twisting a knob with your fingertips. And it could even do things like, again, according to research papers based on this that I've read before, things like, well, what if you just, if I'm at a diner and I'm just listening to music, what if I just like take one of the salt shakers and put it in front of the phone, and now that salt shaker is now my tuning knob or my volume knob, just because it can recognize that, oh, there's something that's spinning in three dimensions with the appropriate like hand gestures. There's a lot they could do with it. They're clearly, and when they first formally announced it early this year as part of the Pixel 4 suite of features, they did mention the specific features they're putting in at launch, but also saying that, of course, we're going to be building upon this in the future. So hopefully that will pay out, because this is a really, really interesting innovation in controlling a phone. The way it's integrated into different features like the face unlock, it's not always scanning to see if your face is there. However, if it senses, if you've got this lying, it's locked and it's on a table, if you reach for it, as soon as you reach for it, it senses, oh, there's a hand above it. I bet the user is about to pick it up. So then it starts turning on the sensors for the face unlock. So by the time you've actually lifted it up, now it's actually unlocked the phone and stuff like that. So it's interesting to see how, let's tune back in a year from now to see how well they're supporting it and how well it actually integrates to everything else.
I got the impression that they are starting simply with gestures, but that there is a lot more that they think they could do with it.
It could be like Daredevil, right? Like radar sense.
I absolutely think that it's kind of, I kind of feel like it's like when Apple introduced the first Macintosh, and they decided specifically to go with a one-button mouse because we don't want to overload people's imagination. People who are using this for the first time, let's just give them one simple gesture, one simple action, and then maybe later on we'll figure out how to make things a little bit more complex. Because it is, I mean, already you have to sort of get used to the idea of I can interact with this phone without actually touching it. All I have to do is, you know, you're getting sleepy, sleepy, and just moving your hands in front of it. I mean, it's almost disappointing when you find out that, oh, well, can I just like scroll through a web browser page by doing that? Well, no. It's like, oh, well, why do I bothering even trying this at all? You don't want it to become like 3D touch where it's really nifty, but because it's not universal and it's not obviously something you have to press, people are just going to forget to try to use it.
Samsung had something similar several generations ago, and they don't still do it.
Samsung, they got 21 minutes to fill during the keynote presentation, so whatever engineer can come up with something that will demo very nicely that people will show to their friends.
LG, though, from last year, that was the worst. It was like you're trying to use force powers to make the
What about the face recognition? Because reviewers have already said it's surprisingly quick, faster than Apple's. What's your experience, Andy?
I would say it's faster than Apple's because the thing I would compare it to is like when you've got your Apple Watch set to unlock your MacBook. Like by the time you're about to key in your password, it's already unlocked. Before you figure out that I've done too much work, it's actually already done it for me. Again, you're talking to a person who, in terms of having this set up, has had exactly like 43 minutes worth of experience with it. But I'm picking it up. I'm noticing that it's unlocking itself. It's not just simply, oh, it just didn't relock itself. It's actually doing the scan. It has a little user interface sort of thing where it actually puts like a little halo around like the edge. That's kind of hard to see depending on how you use it. It seems right now to be very, very fast, very, very reliable so far. The face mapping is not quite as cool as the way that Apple does it, the way you train it to teach your new face. But it's working very well so far. Again, with the caveat, I've had less than an hour of actual like day-to-day experience with this. But I'm
what I
so
really
far.
Like is that you can turn off the lock screen. Because like with Apple, whether you want it or not, it's going to stop you with the lock screen. So you got to do that extra swipe gesture. And some people could care less about the lock screen. And it makes it feel slow to them because my phone's unlocked, but now I have to do this whole gesture to actually get into it.
I agree.
And if you would just give them the same setting, I think Face ID would feel so much faster.
Yeah. I mean, the issue is, and actually Dieter Bohn addresses this in his Verge report too, some people feel like because it's so quick and because it can do it before you even pick it up, maybe this was never locked. And so that's why they give you the choice, because some people actually are made uncomfortable by that. They want to see a lock screen.
Some people like lock screen notifications. They want to see those just because they don't want to do their phone. They just want to see it quickly if they need to or not.
Right. So I do. I think I'll be like you. I'll turn off the lock screen, but maybe not. You know, you gotta try it and see.
I will say it's definitely not a gimmick. They haven't Samsung this feature. They really put a lot of work into it. And again, solely the idea of having this radar array built into it, it's really interesting. I bought a Pixel 1 back when the Pixel 2 was coming out, and I can get a Pixel 1 on Woot like really, really cheap. And I haven't didn't upgrade to the 2 or the 3 because I was waiting for something that was a lot more significant that, oh, look, it's got a better camera. Or, oh, look, it's a little bit faster in ways that I'm probably not going to be able to appreciate. But this idea of not just face unlock, but also the Soli emitter, it makes me feel as though a year from now this could be a super, super intriguing phone.
Yeah.
But do you think it'll also be way better on head? Like, so like for me, it'll be okay on the Pixel. Like, I think just because they're going to have to maintain compatibility, it'll always be a little bit redundant. Like, you'll be able to do it in other ways. But on devices without displays, it could be a primary control mechanism if you don't want to use voice. Like, I just walk up to my home speaker, twist my hand, and suddenly the volume is changing.
Yeah, I mean, imagine like if they had a future version of the Pixel Buds that also had a sensor so you could just, again, do things like the Q-tip gesture to change volume and other things like this to say, please go forward, go back. Like,
yeah, those are going to be gimmicky. Who remembers those things? They're hard to remember.
When you're able to walk around the house and actually get things done when you don't need your phone, but you occasionally need access to information you put onto your phone, or you occasionally want to remember certain things, that's, those gestures, they will come in handy. The, everybody has that Alt-Shift, Alt-Option-Shift, whatever command thing of their favorite app that they know, even though it's not easy to learn, because for them, it solves such a important problem, makes something so quick and so accessible. And I'm really excited by the idea of 3D sensing of motion of fingers and hands, because this could be as significant as multi-touch. It could be as significant as the mouse, because it's just a way, it solves a problem that we actually have from something as, even something as prosaic as, it's winter. It is 18 degrees outside with a wind chill of, oh my God, I don't want to have to pull my glove off in order to like read a book. If they're smart, the first new feature they're going to add is scrolling just with the air, and they're going to get that before the first really big cold snap in like Chicago or Wisconsin or Minnesota, because that will sell Pixel phones. save your fingers.
All right, we're going to save the most important part, which is the camera part, for after the break. I do want to mention they're also copying iPhone pricing. That it is the loaded top of the line Pixel 4 XL is $1,000. That's with 128 gigs. They don't have anything bigger than 128 gigs of storage. Mm-hmm. The baseline for both the Pixel 4 and the Pixel 4 XL is 64 gigs, which is a little surprising.